This is Herb Montgomery, Director of Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free, even our seminars that we do in various venues. So if you'd like to help us keep doing what we do, I'll tell you how you can do that at the end of this podcast. For now, it's our hope that you will just simply enjoy this podcast as our gift to you. This is Herb Montgomery, and I want to thank you for listening to this week's weekly podcast from Renewed Heart Ministries. Our title this week is Jesus, the Liberator of the Oppressed, Physician of the Sick. We're going to be focusing on Mark 2, verse 14 through 17, where it says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard this, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. I want to begin this week by thanking you for your patience with me over the last couple weeks. We've been moving our oldest daughter into college for the very first time, and she's our firstborn child. We've never done this before, and we've been going through a mixture of bittersweet emotions. We have been busy. We've been dealing with the grief of her being gone now, excitement, joy, mixed with all kinds of sorrow. It's just been a whole hodgepodge of both positive and more pensive emotions. And I, if I'm honest, I wasn't prepared for what I've been feeling about her leaving home for the first time. So please pray for me and for us as a family. And this week we started from reading Mark's gospel in chapter 2. So let's take a look at Jesus and this dinner that he attended at Levi's house. In Mark's gospel, salvation is defined as Jesus' liberation from all that oppresses. Mark's Jesus is not preoccupied with getting people through life in some moral condition so that their post-mortem disembodied soul is eligible for the pearly gates. Mark's Jesus is busy liberating those he encounters from whatever it is that's oppressing them today, here, right now. Mark's gospel also draws from the apocalyptic, dualistic worldview that connects everything here on earth with a fight between cosmic good forces and evil cosmic forces. In other words, if someone is being oppressed, their oppressors are the puppets of cosmic evil. And Jesus envisioned himself as a conduit of cosmic good here to liberate those who are oppressed on earth. And this is why Mark jumps so quickly in his gospel to supernatural acts of liberation very, very early in Mark's gospel of Mark's version of the Jesus story. So Mark shows us that Jesus possessed a preferential option for the poor. Jesus wasn't working for the equal opportunity of all to simply compete in a system of winners and losers. He aimed instead at a radical restructuring of human communities where there are no winners and there are no losers. Jesus pointed us toward communities of mutual aid where we each strove to take care of one another rather than competing against each other. And in Mark 10, Jesus tells the man, you lack one thing, go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Jesus envisioned a community not rooted in win-lose survival, but win-win cooperation. In the second chapter of Mark, which is what we're looking at this week, we see the wealthy tax collectors and the sinners responding to Jesus's call to wealth redistribution. And we also see the wealthy Pharisees not responding well. And we begin here to see in Mark's gospel a Jesus who prioritizes liberating the oppressed over religiously defined purity or fidelity to religious ritual. In Luke's gospel, Jesus makes his mission clear. Now, this is Luke, and I know I'm jumping over a gospel, but in Luke 4:8, this is helpful to keep in mind. Jesus says there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovery of sight to those with prison blindness, and to let the oppressed free." The Pharisees in Mark are upset that Jesus is eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jewish tax collectors were viewed once again as unfaithful to the national interests of their own people, and they were seen as collaborators with the oppressive political and economic power of Rome. A sinner in the Gospels was someone who was perceived to be living contrary to the Pharisees and the teachers' interpretation of the Torah. So notice that those who were thought to be guilty of national infidelity or at least religiously disobedient, these were responding to Jesus' economic teachings. While the Pharisees, who valued national faithfulness and strict obedience to Torah, or at least their understanding of Torah's ritual and purity laws, they were not responding to Jesus' economic teaching. Mark offers another clue to understanding what's happening in Mark 2 here also. In the next two stories in his gospel, if you just keep reading Mark focuses on the Pharisees and the rituals of fasting and the Sabbath. He, when asked about the Sabbath, Jesus responds, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food?" And that's Mark 2, verse 25. The Torah declared that it was not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat the bread of the presence. But when it came to feeding the hungry, and think about that phrase, feeding the hungry, when it came to either that or strictly adhering to ritual laws, Jesus chose to labor for the oppressed and to prioritize feeding the hungry over Torah rule. And the people were much weightier in Jesus's mind and heart than the law. And this caused significant difficulties for Jesus in his teaching ministry. Jesus's teaching matches something that Judaism refers to as, and I don't know how to pronounce this correctly, but pekuach nefesh. And that's the principle that the preservation of human life overrides other religious considerations. And the Pharisees in our story this week, they subscribe to a different way of interpreting the Torah, the principle that ritual and purity laws cannot be violated even when a life is in danger. And you can see this principle at work in Mark 3 as well, if you keep reading the Gospel of Mark, this tension. And some members of every religion still argue for this approach to religious obedience today. Mark's Jesus prioritizes the lives of those who are being economically oppressed, those who are going hungry, feeding the hungry. And following Jesus is not about greater patriotism to nationalistic interests, nor is it primarily about religious observances. Following Jesus, according to Mark, means defining salvation not as getting to heaven, but as liberating humanity today from all things that oppress and using the principles that Jesus taught himself in embodying that liberation. And those who participate in this liberation work are, by definition, following Jesus in his work. And those who don't may be very religious, yet they're not following him in the way that he walked while he was here on earth. So our story ends with Jesus responding, "Those who are well don't need a physician. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." I believe Jesus was using the religious leaders' own paradigm here. They felt that they were righteous, and they called those that Jesus was embracing, they called them sinners. Yet Jesus took on the role of a liberating physician, and those who were labeled as sinners and sick, they were the ones that were responding to him. They were the ones that were seeing the sickness of the system that they had participated in, and they were the ones choosing to move in a different direction now. Jesus hadn't come to affirm and reward those who were nationalistically or religiously righteous. He had come to heal the sick and to liberate the oppressed. And Jesus suggests to the religious leaders that even if they were more politically righteous than the tax collectors or more ritually righteous than those that they referred to as sinners, they were just as much economic sinners as the wealthy tax collectors and just as much in need of liberation as the people they condemned. They would have struggled to give away their wealth to the poor just as much, but it was the tax collectors who were responding and doing this. And we see an example of this in Luke 19 with Zacchaeus, who was also a tax collector and chose to embrace Jesus' wealth redistribution. And so as long as they refused to consider this reality, those who were judging Jesus' work could have no part in and no understanding of Jesus' work for the poor and the oppressed. So this week, don't ask yourself how successful you are in merely religious aspects of your life. I'm not saying that the religious aspects of your life are bad. What I'm asking you to do is to ask yourself what you and those around you need to be liberated from so that you can be fully human. Ask what you're doing in your own sphere to live out Jesus' liberation. Just recently, someone responded to one of my critiques of social, political, and economic abuses that are around us today. They responded by asking, "What are you, Herb? A minister or a politician?" And my response is that I'm neither. I'm simply a human being that is endeavoring to obediently follow Jesus. And it is that obedience that dictates that I have to concern myself with more than just the afterlife. I have to concern myself with whatever it is that people need liberated from today in order to be what the great heart of the center of the universe brought them into existence to be. So to the degree that we're living out Jesus' ministry of liberation from all the things that oppress, to that same degree, we're working alongside Jesus. And unless we live out the wisdom of the Jesus story, we may still possess some assurance that helps us sleep at night, but we're not following Jesus's way. If our Jesus today is not first and foremost a liberator of the oppressed, as he declared in Luke 4:18, then we must at least ask whether our Jesus is the same one the Gospels describe. So heart group application this week, the Jesus story calls us to fundamentally rethink theology from the standpoint of the poor and the oppressed, to envision a God who is on the side of the poor and the oppressed of our world, to envision a heart of the universe that is standing in solidarity with those on the margins of our societies. And the Jesus story calls us away from being preoccupied with just getting people through life in some good religious or moral condition so that when they die, they can be admitted to heaven. Hope of a post-mortem heaven, dear as it may be, cannot be our cause for excluding or ignoring the basic conditions that anyone lives in right now, today. The Jesus story calls us to ask, what do we need to be fully liberated from in order to be fully human? And that liberation is physical, economic, political, religious, and social. What do we and those around us need to be fully liberated from? So this week, sit down with your heart group and take inventory. What in your everyday lives do each of you need to be liberated from? And list the issues, list the experiences, list the needs. And then number two, brainstorm ways that the group can come together alongside those needs and live out the liberation values of the Jesus story. Actually write them down, these ways that you can do that. And then number three, pick three things that you have written down in number two and coordinate the carrying out of the actions that you previously discussed. Charity, remember, addresses our immediate needs, but justice gets at the root of what is causing the oppression. And again, the Jesus story defines salvation as liberation from all things that oppress. Within the teachings of Jesus are the seeds, I still believe, of how we can embody Jesus' work of healing in this world. And you can find that described in John 3:17. He came not to condemn, but to heal. And his teachings are where a Jesus follower begins to discover how we live out this gospel in our community and how we can incarnate the values of this story that we hold so dear. So till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns, here's to Jesus, a safer, more compassionate home for us all. And I wish each of you much love, much peace, and much liberation this week. I love each one of you, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you once again for listening to this podcast. As I said earlier, Renewed Heart Ministries is a not-for-profit organization that is dedicated to helping people explore and understand the teachings of Jesus. Everything we do here is for free. We don't make any money off of our seminars that we do in various local venues, and all of our resources are provided for free online. I have a hard time philosophically charging people money for that which I think Jesus gave to humanity for free. And so we take Jesus' words very seriously. Freely you've received, freely give. Even anything that we receive above our annual budget, we don't keep. We like to pass that on to other charities who are making a difference with the poor in this world. So if you'd like to support Renewed Heart Ministries and the work that we're doing in helping others encounter Jesus, please go to renewedheartministries.com. You can either you can go to renewedheartministries.com/donate, or if you go to just the website, you can click in the upper right the link there that says donate. You can make a one-time gift or become one of our monthly contributors. Every little bit helps. And for those of you who are already supporting us, with all of our hearts, we want to take this opportunity to say thank you. You're the one that's enabling us to share Jesus far and wide all around the globe. Thank you to each one of you for listening once again. As we like to say here at Renewed Heart Ministries, till the only world that remains is a world where love reigns. Thank each one of you so much.